And welcome back. So we've got Paul Roelofse back on, certified financial planner, to talk about what access bonds actually have to do with investing. But we'll first start off talking about an access bond first and foremost. Paul, good morning.
Hi, Kino.
There we go.
So we all do have, as you rightly say, probably an access bond on our, sitting on our doorstep. And it's a quite a popular, common type of way of constructing a bond these days, over the last few years. And all we need to understand is that you have a contractual obligation to pay off your bond over a period of time, and normally that's 20-odd years. And what the bank does, they give you an interest rate, and they, what the fancy word is, they amortize, or they actually calculate how much the installment will be over the period of 20 years, and you are committed to that in terms of the contract. So every single month you pay an installment based on the interest rate that's applicable at the time. Now, if you pay more than the contractual obligation, more than the installment at any one stage, you technically are ahead of the loan. And that creates a space inside the bond which you can access. So whatever you've put in extra over and above what you're contractually obliged to do becomes accessible for you. Now, it works in a very, very promising way for the average person, because you can now put cash inside your bond, or you know, can put some extra money inside the bond. And effectively what happens is that the more you put into the bond above the contractual obligation, the less the interest is charged, and the quicker the principal debt starts to come down.
Okay.
So whilst you're in that space, it becomes a very, very useful place to, as I say, put cash. And the effective rate that you get on the extra cash you put in the bond is exactly the interest rate that's being charged to you. So in the event of the bond being, say, 10%, you can effectively put cash into the bond, extra cash into the bond, and effectively your rate will be 10%. And I don't see, there aren't any, too many investments around at the moment which actually have a 10% guarantee on your doorstep in terms of where you can put cash.
Now, if one looks at, you live in a home and you want to do extensions to your home, and let's say it's going to cost you 100K and you've got cash in that particular bond. Is it better to take that cash out to do your, I mean, it depends where the house is and all that sort of stuff, but generally speaking, any improvements will increase the value of your place, right?
Well, definitely. You know, the value of the property going up. So one never really wants to ignore the fact that if I'm going to put some improvements onto my property, I will be capitalizing it and therefore, you know, improving the market value. I think there is, just to, off the point, you know, there is a problem of overcapitalizing dependent on the area that you're living in. But however, just assuming that you're going to put the money back into the house, yes, the value should increase. However, having, say, an extra 100,000, that's your access point in the bond, using that money is probably going to be the cheapest solution and the quickest one for you, for that matter, because you're not going to need to go through the National Credit Act to qualify for a loan, you know, and then that loan will probably be higher than the bond rate. And then you've got to pay that off outside the bond as well.
You get people like FNB, for example, that offer personal loans. So you can go and you can get your personal loan on an app. I mean, they'll know how much you're earning. They know what your liabilities are. And they'll say to you, I don't know, you want to get 60,000 Rand? You can take 60,000 Rand. You pay it over 60 months, by the way. And your payment over 60 months, your interest is maybe something like 40,000 Rand, 45,000 Rand, if you're sitting on, I'm just trying to do some quick sums in my head here, I don't know, around a 20% interest, 21% interest, you're paying that extra 40,000 Rand. So that is, in effect, 40,000 Rand more, whereas if you took it out of your bond, your effective interest rate would be much lower than, and let's say your interest rate's 8.5%. You take that money out of your bond, you're definitely not paying that amount of interest.
You just need to compare the interest rates. And if it's higher than your bond rate, then there's an actual opportunity for you to use the bond money. However, you know, one should be mindful of it. It's a long-term loan. So what I would do in that instance is work out what the repayments would have been on a 60-month loan in your example.
Yeah.
And then commit myself to paying that back in the same period of time back into the bond.
Yeah.
And that way around, you will really get the benefit of the difference between the two interest rates. So it's a very good mechanism to access money, but then be mindful of paying it back as quickly as you possibly can. Because what you don't want to do is pay for it over 20 years, because then it becomes expensive.
Because what will help you do that, though, surely, is let's say your bond is 500,000. You've got 500,000 left on your bond, and you've put 250,000 in. So you put that into your capital part of your bond, which means your interest is less, right? So if I take that money out, or I put that money in, and I keep paying whatever a bond of 500 would be, let's say 5,000 a month for argument's sake, I keep the 5,000 rand in, and I keep paying that amount each and every month. I'm effectively shortening the length of my bond and paying less interest, am I not?
No question. That's the whole idea, is to try and shorten that loan.
Okay.
And the more you are ahead of the contractual obligation, the more likely you are to reduce the term of the loan.
Okay.
For example, you just take a 500,000 rand loan. If you put just 1,000 rand extra into that bond, it faces a 20-year loan.
Yeah.
You can reduce it by up to 8 years, just by 1,000 rand extra every single month.
That is phenomenal.
So now, if you then transferred, and this is why I think it's a great investment tool for us, because it gives us access to cash, a great place to park money at a high rate of interest, and at the same time, it starts working off the future date of that bond in terms of its duration. So now, here we go. If we did a project whereby we put an extra 1,000 rand into this 500,000 rand bond and reduce it by 8, and then we committed ourselves with the savings now on the installment, and we now reinvested that for the forthcoming 8 years, we end up with more money in our back pocket rather than giving it back to the bank. So it becomes a very good sort of investment strategy to get rid of the bond first, and then take the disposable income and put it back into to a nice investment and start building up your capital that way around. In the same 20 years, you effectively should have more. And why I'm quite confident around that too is that currently, if I was going to take the same amount of money and put it into the stock market or other investments, it's very difficult to find a clean yield of 10%, say.
Exactly.
After tax fees and costs consistently, you know, over that period of time, it's very difficult. So from the argument of compound interest, you know, if you can find another investment, I think right now, especially now in this investment in climate right now, I think we need to take note that 10% on call right now in our bond is a very good proposition.
Okay, Paul Roloff's line seems to be failing a little bit there. I'm going to ask the team to check, but we also have Marsha in Kenilworth. Hi there, Marsha. Good morning.
Is my question, but just to clarify, because I paid off my bond quite some years ago, and then I put lump sum saving into my bond account because I was told to get more interest off there, and I was just looking for advice of whether to leave it there, put it in money market, or invest it in elsewhere.
Okay, so what percentage is on your bond at the moment?
No, I paid off my bond within 5 years. Every time I had savings up, I'd put it into my bond.
Yeah, but that bond is still active, right?
Because you've got. Then I had extra money, savings, and I put it into the bond account because I was told I'd get more interest there than I would in my bank account.
Okay, Paul?
Well, first of all, you don't get interest once the bond is paid up. The bank doesn't continue to give you interest. So we've actually got some lazy money there.
I should reinvest it.
Then should reinvest it. And I probably would encourage you to look at a money market type of account with the same bank and perhaps just build up in that interest space. The interest won't be as high as your bond rate, but at the moment the prevailing rates are around about 6 and 7% and quite a nice ideal place to put it. But please be aware that once the bond is paid up, extra money into the bond doesn't accumulate any interest.
So you've answered my question. So, and what about investing it offshore and things like that?
Well, you know, that's a long question and, well, a long answer to a question like that. And we'd have to look at your particular circumstances. Offshore, onshore, and the various arrangements of investing. But just in the short space, I think right now, even if one wants to take a broad brush answer to that question, I think cash is king. And I'd keep my money, take full advantage of the current interest rates right now, and let's wait for something more certain and more rational in our economies before we go into anything long term.
Because there are bank accounts.
The money market is a good place.
Very much so. Safe as a house.
There we go. Matt Marsher in Kenilworth. I mean, some bank accounts give you up to 7%, by the way.
Well, yes, 7% is the going sort of money market rate. Mm. You see, money market trades in sort of wholesale space. The banks lend money to each other in that paper, mm. and they pass that on to you. But there are P's and C's. You know, you have to have a minimum balance there. Mm. You've got to just explore the various conditions. But it's a very good place to have it because you've got access to the money, and at the same time, you're getting a slightly higher rate of interest than the normal retail rates on savings accounts.
I was given some advice once not to pay the bond up full and always to keep, I don't know, 100,000 available in the bond for as long as you can, obviously. Because after 20 years, you should have paid it up, right? But there are a lot of people who want to pay it off rather quickly. Is that bad advice?
No, no, good advice. Because there again, you see, now you've got access to some credit. If you want to go and buy a car or you need to improvements on a house or whatever, you can actually go back to your bond and take it without having to apply through the National Credit Act to see how, you know, how creditworthy you are, et cetera. You've got the money on call. But you can take it all the way up to zero balance. You don't have to just have 100,000. You can put zero balance. However, by keeping it like that, you'd probably have to go back and reactivate it, you know, once you want to access the money. But by keeping it up to that point, it's still your money. You're ahead of the contract, so therefore you can access it. And there are some banks which are a bit sticky around that. We've just noticed once or twice, just clear it with them before you do that kind of work, because sometimes the bank kind of misinterprets it and then wants you to fill in a whole bunch of paperwork before you go back into your account. But generally speaking, you've got access to that money. And once it gets to zero, you now no longer have to pay monthly installments. Mm. But the moment that you do take money out of the account, your installments kick back in again and you have to go back on track with your initial contract.
Brilliant stuff, Paul. As always, sage advice. Anything else in closing?
Well, I just think that it's a great place and space to be right now. In these levels of uncertainty, risk is all around of losing capital. I mean, where can you get tax-free money at 10% on call, no costs? I mean, it just becomes a better and better story and proposition for the time being. And at the same time, I'm reducing my debt, which isn't a bad thing at any stage.
Well, there we go. Paul Roelofse is a certified financial planner. By the way, where can we find you online?
My Invest for Life is my website, Invest for Life, and there's a ton of information that people are welcome to go into. We blog and we keep all these podcasts and things on our site as well, and we can go back for some years. There's a nice library there for anyone.
Great stuff, and if you want to listen to this particular chat, just go to capetalk.co.za and you can hear more of the advice that Paul Roelofse had to share. I think it is a brilliant, brilliant idea, especially if you're wanting to, because interest rates on personal loans are crazy. I mean, between what, 15 and 22%, if not higher. I mean, that's hectic, so it makes sense to actually dig into a bond, take that out and pay it out, pay back that personal loan to yourself over time.